Blog Talk Radio.
Now broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
Hey, yes.
The news you want.
Is the perception still that a black man with a gun is a criminal?
With the topics you need.
Marching might have been good for back in the day, but what kind of effectiveness is marching have on society today?
The Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have the highest homicide offending rate.
4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 1 p.m. Pacific. It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Get it twisted.
On blogtalkradio.com.
All righty then. Good morning, everybody. Good Resurrection Sunday morning, I should say, to everybody. And well, and happy Passover as well, everybody. And welcome to the Ron Kelly Show for an Easter Sunday 2015. Now we're back and better than ever. It's the Ron Kelly Show featuring Mayor Wayne Smith. And wherever you are and however you're listening, we thank you for making this show a part of your Sunday morning. We got a great show for you this morning, and we're about to get serious about what black folks need to move our people forward. But before we do that, we'll welcome the Honorable Mayor Wayne Smith of Irvington, New Jersey. Good morning, Mr. Mayor. Welcome to the program. Okay, well, we'll work on that. I'm sure Mr. Mayor Wayne Smith is around somewhere. We'll get to him in just a few minutes, everybody. The phone number here is 347-426-3214. That's 347-426-3214. You can reach out to us on Facebook. The Facebook page is The Ron Kelly Show. On Twitter, it's R. Kelly Show. And on Instagram, it's Radio Man One. So thank you, everybody. Welcome. It's Easter Sunday 2015. It's going to be a great day. The weatherman says that the weather's going to be great. So we hopefully it will be. Beautiful Sunday morning as it is right now. An hour earlier today, folks. An hour earlier because, you know, the R need to do some things. I'm sure Mayor Wayne has got stuff to do. So Mayor Wayne has stuff to do. So we're doing it show an hour early. I hope you got the memo because we did send it out to let everybody know the show's going to start an hour earlier today. But anyway, everybody, welcome back. Welcome to the program. I don't know, Mayor Wayne. We might be having some different. Mayor Wayne, are you there? Okay, I'll have to get with him. All right, everybody, we got a great show for you this morning. Thank you so much for joining us. And we're going to take a real good hard look at Mayor Wayne. Okay, we're still waiting for Mayor Wayne Smith to jump on board. Yes, Mayor Wayne.
Yes, okay. I don't know, something crazy was going on with the phone.
Okay, well, good morning, everybody. It's the Honorable Mayor Wayne Smith.
How are you, Irvington? Ron? Happy Resurrection Sunday.
Yes, happy Resurrection Sunday, Mayor Wayne. And you notice that I keep calling you the Mayor of Irvington. That's a subliminal message, sir.
Well, listen, you know, they say in government, you know, once you're a governor, a mayor or whatever, you're that for life. So be that as it may, but don't call me for any problems. I can't help you.
But I got
how you doing, man?
I'm doing well, Mayor Wayne. Welcome to the program. I got a sneaky suspicion that they will be able to call you.
There are some things we certainly can help them. And one of the things we want to help them with, Ron, is sponsorship of the show. Anybody out there who would want to be a sponsor or an advertiser, please give us a call. We'll be giving you that number a few times throughout the program.
Right. And you can log on to the Ron Kelly Show website. It's www.theronkellyshow.com. And you can see there's a contact page, my information, and I'll add Mayor Wayne's office there as well, so you can contact either of us if you're interested in broadcast. And if you're interested in advertising on one of the fastest growing radio programs in this country, it's the Ron Kelly Show. All right, everybody. Mayor Wayne, we're going to get serious. You know, because I get a lot of I get a lot of flack from a lot of different people. Right? Like I said, LinkedIn, they hate me.
Yeah, I've been seeing a few things on LinkedIn, but
yeah,
I think you know it engages people to debate. So you know, be that as it may. Mm-hmm.
Right. Some of the people, I mean, some posts have upwards of 400 comments on something that I posted, and it's fantastic because it lets people know. You know, the Ron Kelly Show featuring Mayor Wayne Smith is a place where you could advertise because there's lots of folks coming around, love us or hate us, but definitely listen to us. We appreciate everybody who does, even if you hate us, just listen to the program. And, you know, but amongst black folks, Mayor Wayne, amongst black folks, I think amongst black folks, I get the most grief from black folks. I get the most grief. And we're going to talk about that this morning, Mayor Wayne, and we're going to talk about also the Indiana and Arkansas moonwalk, the Dancing with the Stars moon. They probably did the moonwalk better than Michael Jackson ever did when they moonwalked away from that Religious Freedom Restoration Act, when the companies when the companies started, you know, the companies started beefing and talking about we're moving. Incidentally, there's a couple of companies that threatened to roll back everything. You know, then in Arkansas, you got Walmart, which is the biggest company in the world, is headquartered in Arkansas. And, you know, they wanted to, they came out and said, look, you know, you got to do something about this. The Final Four that was played yesterday may not have been played in Indiana had not it been for the backpedal by Governor Mike Pence in Indiana and Governor Asa Hutchinson in Arkansas. And boy, what a quick turnaround did happen with that. And I want to see, Mayor Wayne, the United States of America is the richest country in the world for a reason. You know,
well, some people say China is now, but we'll save that debate for later.
They can, yeah, right. But they got a billion people. You know, mm-hmm. they have triple the they have triple the population that we have.
Mm-hmm.
We're upwards of say 300 million. They've got a billion. That's triple of population of what we have. So they should have a little bit more going on than we do. But you know, we know America is, you know, technologically speaking and financially, America still is.
I think we have some great advantages. And, you know, but the one interesting thing that about the whole Indiana debate, and it shows what I call the political economy, in that whatever your philosophy is, if you get out there and work it, you can change things.
Definitely.
And the question is how hard are you willing to work? How smart are you willing to work to change people's point of view? Because it can be changed.
Well, there's a fast track, man. See, people, as I said earlier, one of the things I noticed about black people, black folk, meaning us, is that there's a contempt for each other. This is really unprecedented. You know, like as a radio host, yeah, I said I've been attacked by just about everybody. But when I disagree with a black person, the hate is like serious. I was talking to somebody on Facebook who's adamant, vehement, for lack of a better word, about police brutality, for example.
And posting
in caps and all this ridiculous nonsense about police brutality. And I'm not just saying this particular individual, Mayor Wayne, but there's a lot of folks out here who black folk who are missing the boat as far as black on black crime is concerned. You know, carjacking.
You know, I think, I think there is obviously great concern about both of these particular issues. I mean, you know, we live in the community, Ron, and you hear all kinds of comments. I mean, you can't, the level of protest, because there is certainly a valid protest when the authorities who are supposed to protect and serve do something to you, because they're commissioned, they've taken an oath to do that. But at the same time, you have a certain element for various reasons. And that contempt you talk about, remember you say when somebody disagrees with you and they have a contempt for, we have a contempt for each other, that spills out into this whole conversation about black-on-black crime and violence, because if we loved each other, that level of violence could not really happen. But, you know, my son was sharing with me something that I thought was pretty interesting. He would say that if you look at data about who does what to each other, there's not, statistically, he says, there's not much difference between the various ethnic groups, even the people of European descent. They kill each other at about the same level. It's just not magnified as much, both in the press and because we live in the neighborhoods that we know. And so sometimes that is magnified to a level that might be viewed as unrealistic. But we, not to say, from my point of view, that we don't have a lot to work on.
Yeah, we do have a lot to work on anyway, and that may be true. I haven't done any research on it. That may be true. But see, in those circumstances, I think that the only people that are there are them. You know, like you go to China, you're not going to see that many black folk. You're not going to see that many. You ain't going to see no. You might have been the only black folk for you might have been the only black person around for miles, you know.
Well, you know, it's funny because I had a little kid. I was walking into a hotel with some officials from China. I was in elected office at the time. And as we were walking in one of the hotels in this rural area of China, because I got a chance to see all sides of China when I was there. And so the young kid had never, I mean, you know, I'm talking about maybe 5 years old, had never saw a black person. Of course, he came and rubbed my skin. He couldn't believe it. So they were trying to pull him. I said, no, he doesn't mean any harm. This is an anomaly to him. And so, you know, in this 21st century world, we still have pockets of the world where people don't even know how we look.
Right.
I thought that
they
was
don't even
amazing.
Know. Right. So in those circumstances, though, like the only people around are them. So you see, but here in the United States, there are different, lots of different ethnic groups around. And, you know, be that as it may, Mayor Wayne, no one is focusing, like I said, I've said this several times on the program, that there's not a whole lot of focus on what black folks are doing to each other. And let's say even if we could stop police brutality right now, it would end today. We still have more black folks being killed by each other than any place else. And I had a discussion with somebody on Facebook, and they just led into me like, you know, and then they want to insult you and, you know, all kinds of stuff. But see, this is the problem with black folks. This is one of the problems with black folk, that we not only do we disagree, but now we want to insult. We want to cut each other off. You disagree with me, so I hate you. You know, this kind of stuff. And we need to, those type of attitudes need to stop. I mean, this person, I was speaking to somebody who's heavy into police brutality and trying to stop it. And, I mean, they will let me have it, you know, because they know that I have aspirations of being a volunteer deputy sheriff in Essex County. Probably in September I'll be going in. And,
Academy.
Yeah, in Essex County. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I'm looking to be a volunteer deputy sheriff.
Mm-hmm. I'm familiar with it.
Yeah, you're just a cop, and you know, not yet, but it's just ridiculous, Mayor Wayne. I don't really understand why black folks are so vehement against each other when we disagree. You know. And,
but you know, some of it's personal and it's historic. I was looking at this scenario about the great debate in our community. So if you go back to all of our approaches, if you go back to W.E.B. Du Bois and the NAACP, an integrationist, you know, we are part of the system kind of process, don't have any problems with it. Then there was the Booker T. Washington approach, but the difference in is that. W.B. Du Bois talked about, who was one of the founders of the NAACP, talked about going for higher ed and all those things. While Booker T. said, well, let's cast our buckets where we are. Let's not challenge the system. And, of course, there was the great speech, the Atlanta Compromise, where he talked to America's elite about, I just want to get along, so to speak, and to kind of summarize the Rodney King version. So that great debate, and then we go into the 60s, you had many of the people who were praising Dr. King now on this Resurrection Sunday in our churches were vehemently opposed at the work that he was doing. You're disrupting our city. When he came, you know, when he was in the South, you know, when he started to go outside of Alabama where he lived, people criticized him and so forth and so on. So while those, now we have a national holiday, there were those who, especially when he went against the Vietnam War, that it just aggressively opposed him. And don't forget the tension between the black nationalists, the black culturalists, and the civil rights movement. I mean, we had great, I mean, some people died in them debates. So I mean, it is a process of healing in terms of how we disagree with one another, and in this pluralistic democracy where there's a conundrum of ideas out there, we have to figure out where we're going to go and how we handle those debates, and certainly we have the freedom to choose which side of the coin that we on. I've always tried to say as long as somebody's working for progress, that particular method may not be for me, but as long as they're doing something that I think could advance the cause of human dignity and human rights, I'm for that, even though I may not be supporting that group or that organization or whatever. I may be supporting something else or a different approach.
Well, absolutely. I agree with you, Mayor Wayne, but America was founded on commerce. America probably is the only country in the world that was founded on.
In fact, we were some of the commerce.
Right. We were part of the grease that
we were sold as chattel. Right.
Right. Greased the wheel, and America was mm-hmm. founded on commerce. And for example, people hate on the Jews a lot. I hear a lot of disdain about the Jews, for example, because of the control that they have in this country, they have tremendous influence in the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
You can't run for office without praising the Jews, because if you don't, you're doomed. You know, and no other country in the world has that type of influence in America. Not Great Britain, not France, some of our other allies don't have not even close to what the Jews have as far as influence in the United States of America. And the simple answer is the reason why they have so much influence is money. You know, see, because the Jews understand that money is what moves America. Money is what is the bottom line, is the great equalizer in America, where the powers that be, if you interrupt that cash flow, you're going to get their attention.
Well, I think, when you start talking about and certainly the Jewish community has worked hard for whatever position they have. Other groups need to do the same if they want that same positioning. But I will tell you this, you know, money is put you at one level. And I'll note if you've noticed this, Ron, over the last few years. Traditionally, the wealthy have given and tried to control politics. And now many of them are running. So vis-a-vis Michael Bloomberg, John Corzine. If you look at this shift of people who were kind of behind the scenes, so after wealth now becomes this whole quest for power. It used to be through others. Now it seems like folks are stepping up and wanting to run for office themselves. So, but there's also some very significant things that you do with money. And so money buys you education. It buys you influence in certain industries, law, politics, the media. You know, you want to have those points. Wealth buys you influence in those things. So it's always amazing to me. I think one of the daily newspaper, the Daily News is for sale. I'm working on a project now for a daily newspaper for Newark. And the Daily News in New York is for sale. It's losing tons of money. New York Post the same way. But it's always some rich guy, whether it's Rupert Murdoch or others, who buys those, even though they're losing money. Why do you think that is?
Right, they out of loyalty.
Well, they're not just loyalty, but out of power, the ability to influence through media. So, whether it's online press or whether it's print media, wherever you can influence ideas and thoughts, it seems like money gravitates to that too. So money is one level of influence. Power is another level of influence. Media is another level. And even when we talk about entertainment, what about this great debate we've had in our own community about the influence of hip-hop on violence? When you talk about the black-on-black crime, there are many people who think that because we have a culture or some parts of our culture, particularly among hip-hop, and there was this great debate among the hip-hop community and others, you know, with a certain language, calling our women certain names, glorifying violence when they happen, and this whole idea of gang culture, all those things permeate and feed into why is there so much black-on-black violence. And so the question is, what do we do about it? I tossed out to you, Mr. Kelly.
Well, you know, and we'll take a break. We'll take a break, Mayor Wayne. We'll take a break, and I'll address that. We'll take a break, everybody. We'll come back with more of the program. It's the Ron Kelly Show featuring Mayor Wayne Smith, and it's on blogtalkradio.com.
The Ron Kelly Show. blogtalkradio.com. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
So coming to the stage is a really funny guy. Y'all know him. Put your hands together. Give it up for George Wilborn.
Well, why won't we go to the doctor? My uncle calls. Speech all slurred, complaining his arm's numb. He calls everybody under the sun. Aunt Peyton, his old army buddy George. He even called my daughter Tierra, because, you know, she's got a year of nursing. Everyone thinks he needs to go to the doctor, including me. So he said, well, will you take me? I'm like, I'm on the road. He goes, I'll wait. Stroke's no joke. If you or someone you love have symptoms of stroke, don't call family. Don't dial a friend. Don't wait. It may be too late. Dial 911. Time loss is brain loss. Seriously, dial 911.
Learn all the symptoms of a stroke at strokesnojoke.org. That's strokesnojoke.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
There was a need in talk radio, and one man will fill that need.
What kind of effectiveness is Marching Hand Society today?
And you too can be a witness. The Ron Kelly Show on blogtalkradio.com. Now, back with more of the fastest growing internet radio show on the World Wide Web.
And it's on. It's go time.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Absolutely. It's theronkellyshow.com. And the official website of The Ron Kelly Show is www.theronkellyshow.com. Later on in the program, everybody will tell you, know, in that week in review, Mayor Wayne, I'm just heartbroken to hear about this man, Anthony Ray Hinton, who was released from prison after 30 years.
Oh, wow.
For
yeah,
a crime he didn't commit.
I followed that
30,
story. Wow.
30 years. It's just heartbreaking.
And the evidence that could have exonerated him was there all the time.
Right. And
it's that's something that,
It's unreal, you know, that, and these are black folks. These are not, you know, you don't see any other ethnic group coming out of jail after 30 and 30 years. I mean, what's a human life worth? Now, I want to see what the payoff is going to be for this man. But 30 years, I mean, you know, they got to give him something.
I guess part of it, though, is why he did the 30 years in the first place. You got to have adequate legal representation. And you also can't settle. And, you know, it's going to be interesting because here he is coming out of jail after 30 years. He's got to now live. No. Let's assume that he hasn't paid much into the Social Security system. He doesn't have a pension. I don't know who's going to hire him. So how does he live? So, you know, maybe he has family out there. Who knows? But so a lot of times they'll put up money, which he could have gotten a lot of, but survival instinct says, I may only have X number of years. I better take this money and run. So what looks like a little bit of money to us, because we're in different set of circumstances, may be a great deal of money to him, and he's in survival mode, having spent 30 years in prison. What's his skill set? I mean, I don't know. None of the, we're just assuming that he may have some challenges relative to those kinds of life issues. So, you know, he's got a dilemma, And so, you know, they know what that case would be worth if he got really good counsel and look at the overall damage. If he had been on the street, what could he have earned? He could have eventually ended up in school with a PhD and making starting some company, making millions of dollars. So no one will be able to assess what the worth is. They end up settling on a number. But that's like you say, you can't pay that. How do you pay a person back for that kind of a thing?
30 years. I mean, there's no monetary value you can put on 30 years in prison. But I tell you what, the man should not have a dilemma. He should not have to work anymore for the rest of his life. You know, that much I do know, that he shouldn't have to work ever again. We'll address that later on. No, he should not have to work anymore for the rest of his life. He shouldn't have to work. Because after 30 years, wrongfully imprisoned, 30 years, he was imprisoned, and there's no monetary value you can put on that, but I certainly do say after 30 years. I mean, look how much the world has changed in 30 years. This man went to prison in 1985. It is now 2015. The millennium has passed by and all, and this man is just getting out of prison. It must be like, you know, because in prison, the time stops. Technology
and so,
stops.
You know, so Ron, that goes back to our early part of the
they
show.
They have
though,
cell phones
about...
then, man, Wayne. You know?
Yeah, no. Listen, I'll tell young kids sometimes when I'm talking to them. I was born before cell phones, before email, before computers. So they said, "Damn, how old are you?" But it's interesting. It goes back to that point though you raised earlier about police brutality, black on black crime. That is why there's such a massive infuriation in the black community about police abuses. Because let's look at this case with this gentleman, who I think we're equally as outraged. Black man, 30 years ago, arrested by the police. The criminal justice system, because that's what people are really attacking. When we get shot, it's the judge, jury, and executioner all in one swoop. In this particular case, yeah, one level of arrest, police arrest him. Evidence is there that if they had just checked it more thoroughly, could have exonerated this man. If I'm correct, Ron, correct me if I'm wrong, when I was reading about the case, it said that they had a witness who they coerced to make a statement, which they used as part of the testimony. So, you know, that's why there's such a high level of anger in our community about the criminal justice system and the abuses of it. So while the actual shooting, and they say there were 100 shootings in March around the country, at least 100 of law enforcement and unarmed people. So though this man didn't get killed, he ended up being, over half of his life wasted away in prison, and compound that by similar cases where the evidence is shaky, people are arrested, put in jail, don't have good counsel, and they may not have done anything. Now, let's say I'm going to give a certain percentage of people commit crimes and they're guilty and they should be in jail. Not debating that. But the criminal justice system calls to question. And when you see a case like this, you wonder how many people are in fact in jail who, because they didn't have adequate counsel, didn't have money, didn't have education, and didn't know how to work the system, that they end up just their life wasted away. And that's why there's such an infuriation of fever about this whole idea of what happens in. And it's not police per se. They become the marker when a gun is fired, but it's the criminal justice system, I think, our people are attacking because it's been a historic pattern.
Yeah, but hold on a second. Earl's,
go ahead and break
Earl,
in. I know I was a little long-winded on that.
No, I just wanted to bring Earl Scott in. Everybody, Earl Scott is here. Good morning, Earl. How are you?
Good morning, Ron. How are you? How's everybody doing?
Hey, Earl.
Well.
I owe you a call, but we're offline. We'll chat today.
Okay.
Yeah, I know we caught you off guard because we did the show at 9 today instead of 10 because I'm sure Mayor Wayne and you and everyone else as well has things to do today. It's Resurrection Sunday. I want to make my cameo appearance and go to church today. I don't mean to say it like that, but, you know, that's the way it is. right now. You know, and I just want to backpedal for a second, Mayor Wayne.
No,
to us, we were talking about Indiana, and there was a pizza shop.
Yeah, I walk around if I have to.
There's a pizza shop that refused to, you know, with this RFRA, Restoration Act, Religious Freedom Restoration Act. There was a pizza restaurant that refused to serve. They refused to serve gays and
LGBT. Yeah, I read about that.
Community.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, $842,000 has been raised for them, for that restaurant. $842,000 has been raised on GoFundMe of folks who are in agreement that they should be allowed not to serve lesbians and gays. So, I guess they can go in the basket with us as far as people being ostracized because of their race, gender, not necessarily
sexual
gender,
orientation.
Right, we'll talk about that a little bit. But, just to close out on that segment about what black folks do, first of all, I don't know if it's Willie Lynch or whatever, but we need to stop going after each other, because white folks and other ethnic groups will say, okay, I hate you, but I'm going to work with you for this particular cause. You know, if we don't want to, let's say we don't want to rehab in our neighborhood, I don't like you, but I'm going to work with you to get this done. And then once this is finished, I'll go back to not liking you. I mean, you can even do that. But money is a motivator in this country, as demonstrated by the Indiana and Arkansas moonwalk backward away from that Restoration Act. And that black folks have $1.1 trillion, that's with a T, not a B, $1.1 trillion in buying power. And I'm sure that if black folks unilaterally across the country came together, okay, said, okay, we're not going to buy this, we're not going to buy that, it's going to get the attention of these businesses, who will then put pressure on these states and the United States of America to do something about some of the things that are going on in this country, some of the things that are happening to black folks. Money motivates in this country. It's the only thing that's going to save us. Earl Scott, it's the only thing that's going to save us. We need this petition signing nonsense and marching,
right,
and all of this stuff. It ain't happening. Because people are going to be affected by what affects them. If you can affect some, if you can find that sensitive, if you can find that point on a person or on an entity, a business, whatever, like for businesses, for example, it's the bottom line. If you can affect that bottom line, they're going to be like, oh, wait a minute. Because revenue is a lifeblood of these states. It's the lifeblood of these companies. They cannot exist without it. And when you disrupt that cash flow, you're going to get some reaction. It's like a nerve. You know, you touch that nerve, it's going to react. And the nerve center of businesses and states is revenue. And once you disrupt that flow, you're going to get a reaction. And that's what black folks need to do, because all of this nonsense about signing petitions, these people don't give a rat's behind about petitions. They don't care. You can march until your legs fall off. They don't care. You have to hit them. You have to hit them where it hurts, and where it hurts is in the pocketbook. That's the only way you're going to get some of these police brutality, get some of these laws changed, is to hit them in the pocketbook, Earl Scott.
I agree with you. Economics is where we should come from. But then I do agree. Like, I'm just, like, really tired of all the time seeing as though anything that happens, we're constantly signing things, marching things, protesting things, and we sit around and allow things to get to the point that we get any reaction because we didn't put any investment for us, economic, anything else into anything, and then when things come down on us that's unacceptable to us, we're ready to march and protest. But we had all ample time to try to correct measures, trying to do investments, trying to support one another, but we won't do that. And that's ironic. I just find it terrible that we don't support each other or come together on issues. And you'll have an outcome regardless if you invest or you don't invest. What we go through is that we don't invest.
I'm not going to say that. And thank you, Earl and Mayor Wayne. I'm not going to say that the way we treat ourselves gives others an excuse to mistreat us. But hey, look,
right,
you cannot You can't, you know, if my lawn is overgrown with weeds, I can't be right. telling you that you got to cut your grass. You know, so right. you
so,
we have
so,
to
so I agree. I agree. I agree, though, economics is the key to turning a lot of what ails us around. But I will say this, because I'll take the contrarian point of view on the protest. So sometimes the protest is also an economic arm as well. So if I can disrupt the flow of people moving back and forth or spending their money because I'm out there doing certain things, Dr. King's piece with the bus boycott, it wasn't a change of conscience that drove that. It was because he almost broke the bus line economically. So sometimes protests can also be an economic weapon, if you will, if it's harnessed for that particular reason. Because when you disrupt the flow of commerce, you also send an economic signal. So oftentimes what happens is you have certain people in our community who don't view the overt economic battle as one level, but what they have is their bodies, so they'll put that out as an economic weapon. So I think there's all of these things are important. I do believe. I mean, we can't go to school without money. We can't buy houses without money. We certainly should be investing in our own neighborhoods because other people won't invest if we don't invest. So that is clearly, I agree with both of you, that is clearly probably the number one issue. But there are also some other economic weapons like protests that can also affect the outcome. And petitions, though they're quiet, you know, it's essentially what the people told the people in Indiana. They leveraged their economics. They didn't have to do it. They just threatened it. But by their voices, they said, listen, that was a petition. We're petitioning you to change this, or we're going to take our money somewhere. And because they used that combination of political voice and money, all of a sudden it changed overnight.
No, man, Wayne, I look, it was you can yell all you want. If you ain't got the money behind it, you're toast. And
well, you can have money and you can have money and it may not work either.
But you have to back up.
So, for instance, I'm going to give you a controversial figure, very controversial today, Bill Cosby, right? Would you say he's controversial today?
Well, he's
Bill
controversial.
Had a whole bunch of
he's controversial
hey,
because
my eyebrows are raised about that.
So listen, we
don't want to slide off into Bill Cosby world, but I will say that
I'm trying to make a point of money. He tried to buy CBS. He had the money. They wouldn't sell it to him.
Right.
They wouldn't sell it to him.
Because he didn't do the hostile takeover. You know, he didn't do that. You know, he just did the hostile takeover and took it anyway. You have to manipulate. See, because the way to do that is to get the board members to, you know, you get a bunch of board members.
Hey,
Ron
is gangster, boy. He was talking about the president being gangster when we did the first show. So now he's talking about hostile takeover. I think Ron Kelly is a gangster, boy.
Hostile takeover.
Right.
That's right. Hostile takeover. Yeah, he didn't do the hostile takeover because you know, a lot of times, more often than not, when you want to buy a company, and I mean, you can get the founder of the company. Like somebody wanted to buy Apple, Steve Jobs said no. They got Steve Jobs out of there and bought it anyway because they had the board members on their side. Once you get the board members to vote with you, you can do anything. You can even get the person who started the company, get them out. You know, if there's a board, so he like that. I'm talking like
say
gangster.
Ron, say just gangster. It case should have been a gangster, right?
We gotta be gangster. We gotta stop with this really nonsense. You know, black folks. And Earl, I've been on Facebook. I mean, you can read some of the thread for some of the posts where I've talked, and they just call me all kinds of names. You know, disrespect me up and down. I mean, so I'm talking about black folks.
Oh yeah.
You know, and that's not cool. I mean, you know, we should all be, like I said, I put a post out the other day on Facebook that we're doomed. And we are doomed. We're doomed.
Right.
If we keep it up with this, you know, where I don't agree with you, so I don't like you, you know,
right.
I don't agree with you. So they don't even want to hear what you have to say, you know.
Right.
And black folks, we are all, it's like, you know, it's like watching an ant form, not saying we're ants or anything. But it's like watching an ant farm. Now, you see an ant farm now. All those ants are running around like crazy. You think that they're, you know, you ever watch ants out somewhere? And I mean, when I was a kid, I used to watch them. And they'd be running around and bumping into each other. And you think that these ants don't even know each other. But all of those ants are working toward the same goal. They're all working toward the same. You know, because you see the ants, they run into each other. They're bumping into each other, going back and forth. But they're all on the same page. But us, we're not on the same page. You know, you got black, you got police brutality, you got this, you got that, you got the other. You have NAACP, Urban League, National Action Network. You got so many different organizations, and none of them are working together.
No.
They're competing against each other. None of them are working together. And that's why we'll never get it together as black folk as long as we keep doing that. You know, which I'm sorry. We'll take a break. Part of my diatribe. We'll take a break. It's the Ron Kelly Show, but it ain't mine like that. But we'll take a quick break, and we'll come right back with Mayor Wayne Smith and Earl Scott. Yeah, I know who you are, brother. It's the Ron Kelly Show. The Ron Kelly Show at Al, and we're on blogtalkradio.com.
Think of the shortbread, fudgy nut bar. How many cheeks? Think of the shortbread, fudgy nut bar. How many cheeks in the cookie jar? One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And we are back. It's the Ron Kelly Show for a Sunday morning. I dispensed with the outs and ins for this segment. We got about 20 minutes left of the program. So thank you, everybody, for joining us this morning. Yours truly, Ron Kelly, Mayor Wayne Smith, and Earl Scott. We're the gang's all here an hour earlier. So if you turn on your radio at 10 o'clock and you don't hear anything, well, you can listen to the rebroad. You can listen to the podcast. You just go to blogtalkradio.com/ The Ron Kelly Show. I don't know if it'll be uploaded that quickly. But in any case, any show that you may have missed, anytime, anywhere, you can log on to blogtalkradio.com/ The Ron Kelly Show. You can listen to any of the other shows, or you can log on to the official website of The Ron Kelly Show. It's www.theronkellyshow.com. And you can check out at least the last four programs, along with a lot of other good stuff, including Ron Kelly Show merchandise store, where you can buy merchandise with the Ron Kelly Show logo on it, all types of stuff, good for the summers, T-shirts, gym bags. You know, I don't even have a gym bag. I got to get one. I go to the gym 3 times a week. Yeah. All right, I got
to. Well, you ought to be. Listen, you ought to be carrying the brand now. Wait a minute.
Yeah, I should be carrying. Let me see if I can get a free bag. I don't pay for
that. So that's one thing we got to do. We got to promote.
That's right. I got to see if I can get a free bag out of the company that makes them. All right, everybody, it's just about 17 minutes before the hour. It's the Ron Kelly Show. It's Resurrection Sunday, Easter, and I will be making my cameo appearance at church today. I don't mean to say it like that. But he don't say how many times you got to praise him, but you do, you praise God every day. Good health and a good life, and don't say in the Bible how many times you got to go to church in a year. Okay, everybody, it's the Ron Kelly Show. I just want to, I've always said, Mayor Wayne and Earl Scott, I've always said that let's move into the news of the week. Besides the two losers in the Republican Party, that's not even news because they're both going to lose. Hillary. Anyway,
Well, you know what? It's not done yet for Hillary. I mean, I was just reading before the show that the former governor of Maryland he's making his move. He's actually out on the circuit. And though Elizabeth Warren keeps saying no, there are people out there raising money for her. So, Hillary thought 8 years ago that it was in the bag.
And one thing I'll tell you,
I'm a living witness. You never know what's going to happen in American politics.
She might be in the bag now because there's no Obama to stop her. So she might be in the bag
It don't have to be Obama. It could be
Obama. Well, you know what? She lost because of somebody in her own party. you know, now there's no Obama this time, so I clearly think she's going to be the front runner.
She was the front runner before nobody knew who Senator Obama was either.
Well, I don't think that you know, Hillary, the Clinton brand
is all powerful.
Right. I mean, she's going to suck up all the money. You know, everybody's going to be down with her. She only lost. She didn't lose by that much to Obama. You know what I mean? It wasn't by that much. And there was a lot of outside forces that were trying to get her to stop, you know,
Ron and Earl, because I just heard Ron say something that's very interesting about our debate.
Okay.
Money. He said she had all the money. Should money be the barometer of whether or not a person gets an opportunity to serve or not?
Well,
I mean, we know that's a reality, but should it be?
Money, like
shouldn't it be the smartest person, the best person, the most moral person? I mean, what should it be?
No,
should they have to have money too?
No, it's a person. Look, you can be smart as a whip and moral to a, you know, the most person. You know yourself, having run many campaigns in your time as mayor and a councilman in Irvington, you know that you ain't got no money. You're finished. And
I think that's a sad commentary that good people are locked out of the process because it's become a money chase. And so we have to think about that as a society. Very good people could contribute to the public arena, but they're locked out because either they can't raise money or they don't have money.
And Earl Scott, it's money. Money runs this country. I mean, let's not you know, mince words. Money. It might not be the root of all evil, or maybe it is, but it's definitely the root of the United States of America. Because if you ain't got none, you're in trouble.
So when we tell our kids, if you're not smart, you know, what do we tell them? They got to have money, or they can't achieve their dreams, or do they have to have ingenuity, intelligence, and smarts and drive?
Well, in certain, well, you got
to
have
that.
If I had listened to that,
I wouldn't have went nowhere. I was born in a very poor family.
Right, but you know,
you needed to raise
money though to run for mayor. You know,
I think you lose a lot of good people because they don't want to go through that.
You're a good person,
and then I'll,
of good moral value and good upbringing, but
you had to raise money. You have to raise money. You
that hat around, or you know, to have those little lawn signs to say Smith for mayor.
Yeah, no, you got to have radio. You got to have maybe a little bit of cable TV today. It's a whole different race. You got to be on the internet.
That's right.
You got to do direct mail. You got to do all of it. And all of it costs money. Now, none of it's for free.
Right. So,
That means we divide the house up. Good people are not going to be in the public process because of the money chase.
Look, if you're gonna run again, you need to start getting money together now.
I'm gonna leave that one alone for now.
if you don't want to tip your hand, but I'll tell you, to get the money together,
I'm gonna leave that alone for now.
especially when you're working in depressed cities, you know, cities that depend on state aid like Irvington did, and Patterson, Newark, and state, cities like that.
Urban centers,
where
had the greatest challenges, yep.
Right, where the people also, and then you got to go for money outside, and, you know, then you got the outside, you got the stuff about the outside.
Influences.
You know, you got to get outside money, and people are going to be like, you're going for outside money.
Got his money from this way. This one contributes to it.
Yeah.
It is a rough business. It's a rough business.
This law firm and Bedminster. Why are you getting money from Bedminster from? That's way outside. There's no black people down there. You know, now you got to hear all of that stuff. You know, so, but money is the if you're running for something, if you're in politics in the United States of America, especially the president, where President Obama spent like $1 billion, you know, near a billion on his presidential race, it's ridiculous. You need money. Money is what moves this country. And if black folks don't start leveraging, getting back to the topic, if black folks don't start leveraging their money, If we don't start leveraging, you know, our financial power that we have, we're never going to get – forget it. Forget it. This ain't the 60s. You know, this is the 2015s, and things ain't like the way they were back then. Things, as a matter of fact, it seems to me that things are worse than they were back then. I mean, we're not getting beat down in the street and having dogs sicked on us.
I did hear a story about
somebody digging the dog sicked on him a few weeks ago.
I was going to say some people would disagree with that.
Yeah. We need to leverage our financial power, because that's the only way we're going to get anything done in this country. You can have a zillion petitions. Young man came up to me the other day, a young man about 19, 20 years old, wanted me to sign a petition for Mumia Abdul-Jabbar. Are you serious? You know, I mean, are you serious? I mean, I can appreciate your consciousness and all, but no petition in the world is going to get Mumia Abdul-Jabbar out of jail. None. You can use every piece of paper in America, and it's still not going to get him out of jail. You know.
Well, here's where we started the show, Ron, where we talked about raising your voice and leveraging your money can bring about change. Because if those folks had not been out there for Mumia, he'd be dead.
He is dead. He's not going to get out of jail.
He's physically alive, but I mean, they were going to put him in the electric chair or whatever, however they do it, the injection or whatever. So because of the outcry around his situation, rightly or wrongly, it backed up where the man is still living. He was on his way to death. I mean, for them to do him in.
He is being done
but
in.
Because, huh? Well, no, they just staved off the execution.
But they couldn't do nothing about the life in prison. Now, the man is sick right now. You think they're going to be rushing him? You think they're going to be rushing him to the hospital? They're going to take the scenic route because they want him to die. So they're not going to be flying. They may not even put the red lights on when they take him to the hospital. They may just go around a long way because they don't want him to live. They don't care how he dies as long as he dies in prison. That's all they care about. And I appreciate the young man's social consciousness and all, but forget about it. That is just not going to happen. What do you think about that, Earl Scott? Come in, Earl Scott. Why are you with
us? Well, I'm here. You know, I don't get into signing petitions and stuff like that, and I just think that our priorities are out of order. You know, I think that every group of people, ethnic group of people, always build economics before they move on to political and everything, and we don't. We just put somebody in there that's African-American thinking that they're going to change things. And there's a wise man that said when it comes to wealth and wisdom, they always keep that away from us, because if you have a man that's wise, you keep money away from him so none of his ideas will become realistic. And if you have people with money, siphon off their riches so none of their money will be able to aid their people. So wealth and wisdom, is as far as African-Americans, they don't unite, because I believe truly there are a lot of people that I would love to see run. I mean, I would even like to see the mayor on the other end here run down in Trenton or somewhere like that. But, you know, money sometimes is just, like you said, it's just a factor. And this favoritism, who's in, who's on the team and all that stuff, it's just a nightmare with that money. And it's not money is the root of all evil. It's the love of money is the root of all evil. That's how it's exactly said. But I think that money drives everything. You have no money, forget it.
And well, this is definitely the evil empire. Well, this is the evil empire, then, if money is the root of all evil.
It's the love of money that's the root of all evil.
Well, people in America love money, too. We must be the evil empire because folks love money in America. Money is what drives this country was founded on commerce.
But the question is, are we becoming an OJ's nation for the love of money? We will sell our precious body for one.
Of course, we do that now.
So of course, they do that now.
It carries a lot of weight.
They do that now, Mayor Wayne. It's an $8 billion. It's an $8 billion industry. They're selling their precious bodies all the time, be it on be it on Grove Street or in the halls of Congress. I mean, not congressmen, but they're doing it. You know, so $8 billion industry. You got the Bunny Ranch now, where people, you can go out there in Nevada, where it's legal to.
And is that the standard? Though? Are we are we saying that we have resigned ourselves to that as a standard? And I for one would hope that we aspire to something higher than that. I mean, we don't have the worst in society and the best in society, but hopefully the general purview would be that we would have a higher reach than our lower selves. So, you know, I mean, that's the great debate today. So and so the question becomes, you know, people will typically, whenever there's a debate, talk about the Constitution and our values. But if everything is driven on money, then those values go out of the window.
They've been out the window. They've been gone. I mean,
oh,
that's been like, that's been, I mean, you have a few that are still kind of like trying to keep, you know, the straight now, but the majority of it is everything is about the haves and the haves nots. You know what I mean?
That's the struggle. You're right.
That's what this country's, and you know, because first is the haves and the have-nots, then you break it down to racism and color and stuff like that. You know, they even got rid of the window. It's not only the window is gone too.
The house,
you know,
too, right?
The house, the window, the front porch is all gone, and you know, because this is what the country is based on. And anybody who thinks that signing petitions, while I don't, you know, well, I respect the effort, at least, that some folks are making. If anybody thinks that signing petitions is going to change police brutality, you're nuts. Because it's not. See, this isn't about laws necessarily. When you come for police brutality, for example, it's about culture.
Right.
It's about culture, you know. And police officers, some good police officers, who've witnessed some of these atrocities, are afraid to turn a fellow officer in because they won't get promoted. They'll be considered a rat. It's just like being in the hood. You know, folks in the hood, snitches get stitches, et cetera, et cetera. Well, cops who rat on other cops get stitches in regard to promotions and raises and camaraderie and stuff like that, where they may not, if you get in trouble, they may not respond as fast. I mean, it's a vicious, vicious thing that's going on. So cops, especially now, I'm trying to get this cop, he's an African-American police officer who has a website who specifically talks about black officers turning looking the other way when these things happen.
What's the cause of it, though, Ron? You know, when I came on, you were talking about police brutality. I believe there's a causation and a correlation between everything that's going on that's making police officers react and the way they do. There's something, because you're talking about police brutality, you got a lot of bad behavior coming out that house today that they have to deal with. I mean, there are sociopaths being developed each and every day in our communities, and I mean, it's just bad behavior all the way around, which makes them have bad behavior. So they're
dealing with racist too. You know, some of them are just racist. Some police officers, you know, you have the race factor. Some of them are just racist. And then you have the pressure, you know, because it's a two-three-prong. Some of them are just racist. Then you have the police officers who are afraid to turn the other ones in.
Right.
Because they'll be looking at
it. And then you got the people that should have had their behind whooped when they was little.
Well, yeah,
that's certainly a factor. So, Ron, it's one of the things, though, you should say, there are some police officers who have stepped up. I remember there was a group out there, Black Cops Against Police Brutality,
and we
had some whistleblowers out there and among that group that would not let, and that's why we told blacks to become police officers, because during the 1960s, there was so much, particularly in this state of New Jersey, in Newark in particular. If you read the book No Cause for Indictment, it talks about the level, and if you read the Kerner Commission report, all those things talk about police brutality. So one of the remedies, supposedly, to that was to make sure that black police officers got hired around the country, and that became a goal. So I think there are good and responsible African American and white police officers who don't allow it to happen. But then there's the other side. Just like there are good cops, there are some bad cops. Like good doctors, bad doctors. Good politicians, bad. So end of the day, you know, you get the explosion of these ones for whatever vast reason, either they're racist, they're incompetent, whatever, where they abuse. So I mean, it's a not one all be all. It's the challenge is, when the bad actors act, we got to do something. But so Earl's point is, internally, we've got to make sure that our people are not in situations where they bring on the law enforcement charge on themselves. I understand where he's going with that clearly.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
We got about there's about 49 seconds left of the show, everybody. Yeah, and I get that too. And there are a lot of great police officers out there. I know some. You know, I intend to be one if I can get through the academy. But I'm certainly not going to turn my head or allow anyone, whether they're white, Asian, Native American, green, or whatever. I won't stand by and allow anyone to be abused while I'm on duty. And if I'm with somebody,
right,
I don't care
right,
what happens.
Right.
You know, yeah, I'm not going to allow that to happen. Everybody, we got to leave it there, everybody. But thank you so much. Thank you, Mayor Wayne Smith, City of Irvington, and Earl Scott. And for both of them, yours truly, Ron Kelly. Have a great Easter Sunday. We'll see you back here at 10 next Sunday for another edition of Ron Kelly Show. So until then, everybody, take care of yourselves, and we'll see you then.
Good night. Good day.